Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade at X5, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Antonio DeNisi, and I have a trading problem.
Okay, so now I'm completely
I didn't say also.
I'm completely thrown off because this is the first time in weeks you did not introduce yourself as Meatloaf Wildcat.
I was
all right. Let's rewind here.
No, absolutely not. It's hey everybody, welcome to session 113 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF Stop Shaking Your Head family of podcasts, also a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. DAP. That is dabbing. Dapping is fist bumping. You got to know these things, Brian. Ba-la-la-la. Foreshadowing. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. Well, first and foremost, happy day post Father's Day. I hope you two fine gentlemen had nice Father's Days. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I had a great one. My daughter made a little... Russ, you're probably the only person that can see it because I don't typically post a lot of photos of my daughter on Twitter, but Facebook, you know, she made me this like necklace chain thing with a cardboard cutout thing that she bedazzled and it said my hero. So it was awesome. Yeah, it was really cool. And I wore it like most of the day. And
so you got a Wreck-It Ralph Penelope medal.
Yes, correct. Correct. It was awesome. I love it.
That's great. I'm excited for those times. My son's 1.5, so he's a lot more mobile this year than he was last year. So that was really fun. My wife got me some really good peanut butter. It was a good day. Got to hang out with the family, do some swimming.
All right. So I was woken up a little too viciously, let me just say, to breakfast in bed where they cut up an apple and my wife cut up the apple because they're 5 and 7 and one of them put in the shape of a heart, which was adorable. My daughter, we've taught my 5-year-old to make coffee in a Keurig. So she made me coffee. They made me their own cards, which were beautiful and adorable. And then they filled out this. We printed out this. Well, I didn't. They printed out this paper that says like all about my dad. And it's like my dad's name is he is this year's old, this many years old. My daughter thinks I'm 13. My son thinks I'm 45.
Accurate.
I am somewhere in the middle of that.
Take the median.
It's somewhere in there. My son said my favorite food is bacon. My daughter said my favorite food is steak. So clearly my kids know me. So now here's where you can tell that I have devil children. They are manipulative as hell. There was a thing that says, I love my daddy more than. my son wrote playing video games by myself. So he doesn't love me more than playing video games. He only loves me more than when he's playing by himself. Add any other person or computer along with him, I'm second place. And he let me know this. Don't get me wrong. This is not me insinuating. And why does it get worse? My daughter loves me more than cupcakes, which you would think that's amazing. That's great. Only when there's no icing on them.
How often?
After she's done licking the icing off a cupcake, she loves me more than that now gross piece of cake that she won't eat anyway. My children love me, I swear. They do. They I had that moment of, oh, this is sweet. This is the greatest. You love me so. Wait, you don't really love. Okay, I see this. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but it's all relative to what is important in their life, right? I mean, when you're, how old are your kids? 5 and 7. Okay. So at 5 and 7, cupcakes are pretty damn awesome. I mean, that's like, I mean, cupcakes to a 35-year-old are pretty awesome. I ate cupcakes 2 years ago.
Icing on them.
Well, hey, man. I mean.
But the part I loved, she said, there was a line that said, if you had a lot of money, what would you buy your dad? And she wrote in Seahawks stuff.
Well, at least she understands you and loves you on that part. She knows you love the Seahawks. Yeah.
They know me. They just are already outsmarting me.
I only approve the Seahawks stuff if it's Color Rush lime green, and they buy the pants as well.
Oh, that's so gross. Oh. That'd be like, I'd hide that in the back, like all the ties I bought my dad for Father's Day and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wear it every day. I do wear it every day. It's
yeah, I love it. It's great. See, it's in my closet, right, with all the other stuff I love that you got me.
Well, it's kind of like my son with toys. You know, we buy him these toys, and he loves playing with the recycle bin.
Yep.
He loves the stuff in that recycling bin.
You should see the boxes we have that are used more than the toys they came in. It's not a joke. It's real. Like, we think this is like this horrible like movie stereotype that they like. No, literally, my kids play with giant boxes more than they play with the millions of toys they get for their birthday. It's infuriating because they know, you know, the second you get them just a box, they're going to get pissed off at you.
Yeah, like, well, what is that?
Yeah, they're supposed to be presents that I'm not going to play with, so I can just play with this box. You know, what is this? No, you don't get to do this. All right, well, that was fun. Maybe we should talk football, I guess. Well, before we start talking football, we haven't gotten to do this in a while because we haven't really had a first-time guest in a while. So, Antonio, why don't you tell all the fine people listening who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as stated, I'm Antonio Denisi. I am part of the Dynasty Mafia podcast. I've been playing fantasy for about 14 years now. So just about half my life, and I got into it through my job. A couple guys were playing, and I had some friends as well, and we kind of got a league together, and that was the newspaper days, even though we had access to internet. I don't know why we didn't use it thinking about it back in the day, but yeah, so that kind of started everything. I just got into Dynasty in general about 5 years ago. I started with some friends, did 3 leagues up until last year. I'm up to about 15 now.
Yeah.
Thanks, partially to you guys. So I appreciate that. So it's been a lot of fun. I've moved a lot to Dynasty, and I can't see myself doing much redraft anymore. It's crazy to think. So some of my best trades, I was just looking them up. 2018, in the non-point scoring season, excuse me, I traded my 405 for Chris Godwin.
Oof.
So I like that. 2019, I traded David Johnson for the 102, 110, and 209.
Oof.
Which I got Miles Sanders, and then I think I traded the 110 and 209 for other stuff. So those were some good ones I dug up, but a bad one, which really wasn't too horrible, but prior to last season, I traded Nick Chubb straight up, or I traded DeAndre Hopkins straight up for Nick Chubb. So
I don't hate on that.
No, not terrible.
Yeah. Like, maybe next year when Hunt finally leaves, you'll feel better about it because no one's going to want Hopkins because he's 29 and the oldest person in the world. And
The bad part about it, though, the bad part about it was the owner told me afterwards when we were talking is that he would have given me DJ Moore as well. That is what really makes this the bad, really bad
just
trade.
Reach back out to him now. He's like, yo, you said you'd do it. You want to just do it now for me? Be cool, bro.
Yeah, let's talk this through, man. yeah. Other than that, so my guiding principle, I do like to see both sides. I really do. I always play the role, though, to get my guy, so I will overpay if I have to. But I'm going to try to say, hey, if I was on the other side, would I take this player too? How can it improve my team? Sometimes it does get me in trouble when I'm coaching for other teams, but I've backed it up on that.
I love that. I don't even have to really ask things anymore. This is pretty great. He walked through that whole thing.
That was a little bit of a wrong one.
Don't, hey, man, I love not having to do work. That's the best. And Brian has apparently been learning StreamYard behind my back, because he is just like, there's a scrolling thing on the bottom that says Meatloaf Wildcat ... legend, which is in reference to the Twitter conversation between Brian, James Katulis, and myself, where James called Brian the legend we don't know, was it? Never knew? The legend we never knew, and which I added, and never wanted. So this is Brian acting out because he is a petulant child who hasn't seen The Princess Bride still. And we had another complete conversation in Princess Bride GIFs in his mentions. Shake your head.
I'm never going to see that movie now.
That's fine. It's a great movie. Talking about it.
It's a great movie.
Antonio knows it's a great movie. He's going to take my side because I'm not going to stop yelling at him a little later.
I can't wait for that, to be honest.
You
got to
be kind now.
All right. So in the tweet to ask for listener questions, I put that Antonio was my arch enemy. And honestly, it was only because he beat me in the championship of the Dynasty. I don't know why I can never say Dynasty Diagnostic without having to really think about what the hell the name of that podcast is.
It always throws me off because of the Twitter being Dino Diagnostic.
Really, Brian?
I always confuse them.
Sorry, Brian just crushed a can on the top of his head. Yes. See, this is why, okay, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. This is the stuff you're missing by not being able to watch the live stream. And I have to sit here talking about it on the podcast that people are just going to be like, why the hell is this guy talking about this? Like, we can't see that. But you can see that. You can. Whew. Okay, so I think I was talking about something. How much I hate Antonio. So originally it was
so rude. So rude.
He signed up for this. I mean, he didn't have to say yes when I asked him if he wanted to come on. So originally it was just because he beat me in the Dynasty Diagnostic Championship League, which, man, I thought my team was crushing. And then, to be fair, it wasn't one of those things where, like, he beat me by, like, 3 points. He beat me handedly in the final, so I feel okay about it. I'm just bitter because I lost. Like, Steve K, if you're out there listening, I will never forgive you for beating me by 0.3 or whatever the hell it was in the Cartoon Do-Gooders year one. Like, that will stain my soul forever. But when asking for questions, it gets... Hold on, let me pull this up. I need to find exactly what this ranking is, because I believe it was our homeboy 2Drink, FL2Drink Minimum, who brought up... Man, I should have had this prepared, because now I'm scrolling through my notifications and all I have are Princess Bride GIFs, and I have to try and find the original tweet where... your rookie wide receiver rankings were listed. Here we go.
There it is.
So, okay, so you have Justin Jefferson number one, which isn't very hot takey. A lot of people love him. CeeDee Lamb number two, Judy number three, Laviska Shenault, who we talked beforehand that you just, that's your guy. So I get that. Jalen Reagor, I get it. Six, Denzel Mims. Seven, Brandon Ayuk. Eight, T. Higgins. Eight, T. Higgins. One more time. Eight, T. Higgins. Why do you hate T. Higgins?
it's not kind of like I was saying, it's not a lot of hate on T. Higgins. He's a good player. He's, you know, Clemson big wide receiver, but I like the opportunity for the seven guys in front of him, and he does profile a lot like AJ Green, so.
So what you're saying is the guy that gets to take over the role and learn from one of the best wide receivers in the league in the past 10 years, that's a bad thing.
Definitely not a bad thing. More of, I love Cam Akers, but he is suspect to the four running backs in front of him. That type of that type of love. I think
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. But Joe Burrow is I think he's going to be really, really good, and Higgins is going to be a really good candidate for a lot of targets from him for his good for a long career.
Okay. You said that I hate you a little less. I'm going to erase why do you hate T. Higgins, all capital letters, with 1, 2, 3, 4 question marks. That's off the table now.
I was glad we didn't hit 5.
I pulled back. I may have typed 5 and deleted one. I don't remember anymore. Was there any news? I forgot to look. Did the Deebo Samuel stuff happen on the last show, Brian, that I still haven't listened to because I'm so freaking far behind on popular?
No.
All right, well, let's talk about it anyway real quick. Deebo, Sam, and hey, man, words, hold on, they'll come to me. If you subscribe to the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, YouTube, or Periscope, or just the podcast stream, you could hear me and Bill at Super Duplex talking about the Deebo Samuel stuff yesterday because we randomly just jumped on and felt like talking. So that stuff I hope to happen more often. So that's another thing to look forward to if you subscribe to the DAP Network. Whew. Okay, so Deebo Samuel... Jones fracture? I say that like I know what it's going to mean anyway, but he broke a bone in his foot somewhere doing catching drills. Ethan Turner says that is a 10 week recovery, and the season starts in 12 weeks. So part of me feels like we shouldn't worry, but part of me feels like foot injuries scare the hell out of me and always take time to heal, because this is one of those things like AJ Green or like Hollywood Brown where he can just step wrong 2 snaps into a game and you're taking a 0. So that scares me a little bit. So man, what are you doing, Brian, with Antonio, who's right there? Brian, what are you doing with Antonio, man? What are you doing with Deebo Samuel right now?
Holding.
Are you so you're not going to be you're not me and you're not panic selling one share?
No, here's the reaction. Hold Deebo, buy Kittle. George Kittle's going to have like 300 targets. I mean, not literally 300 targets, but like if you, I mean, he was so efficient last year too. I saw stats and I should have grabbed it on Twitter, but there was a thread about his statistics last year versus Travis Kelce, and I think I don't know if it was Ertz or, but anyways, he was so efficient. It was ridiculous in terms of his production. And he's just going to continue to, I mean, that offense 100% runs through George Kittle. So they have a young up and coming wide receiver in Deebo Samuel. You know, they started using him a little bit different towards the end of the season. And then the Super Bowl, they had the extra time. You saw what he was able to do in that game. And then he gets hurt. Long term, I think he still comes back and is they're going to use him the same way they would have used him previously. So I'm not concerned long term. And that's why I say hold, because you're not going to get the value likely in the next, you know, however long. 10 weeks of the season. I mean, the next 2 months, you're not going to get that value that you maybe could have gotten a week ago. But, you know, you're probably still going to get the same guy when he returns, I would imagine, right? I mean, hopefully. Yeah, foot injuries are scary. Well, but that's the point, and that's why he's a hold.
If he does long term, if that's what you're trying to say.
And if you are worried about it, wait till he comes out. You know, wait till he comes back. As soon as he comes back and has one decent game, you can sell him probably for the same price you would have sold for, you know, a week ago. So I just think I'm holding Deebo.
All right. Antonio, you are a Brandon Ayuk appreciator, I'll call him. Is this a chance to buy, sell, hold Ayuk on this Deebo news? Do you think it affects Ayuk at all?
So I definitely think people that bought Ayuk are definitely going to be attached to him, especially if they paid a good price on him in the draft. But it's definitely going to ascend what people want for him right now. So I think it's going to be tough. I think, like Brian said, it's going to be a wait and hold with Ayuk, unless you want to take advantage of somebody that really thinks he's going to jump off early and take over that wide receiver 1. But I mean, I do think he's going to get used in the beginning, but when Debo comes in, like you said, it's going to be just like normal. I think Ayuk will get his and Samuel will get his.
Ayuk or a 21 first?
Ayuk.
Brian?
I'd probably take the first, but I'd probably take the first.
Yeah, I think I would too.
You probably could get that right now as well. Yeah, you definitely could get that right now.
I think especially I do have
got him at like 205.
I mean, I like Ayuk. I have several shares, you know, or I have him rostered in a couple leagues, you know, where I drafted him. I felt like I got him at a pretty good range. Like I got him around the 205 mm-hmm. in a couple of leagues. And that's, you know, I think that's pretty good. I think most years he would have been a higher second, maybe even a late first. This class was just so deep, you know, with talent that he kind of got bumped. Especially in super flex leagues. So, but yeah, I think we do this every single year, but I think next year's class is nice too, especially at the top end, yeah. You know, maybe not, it's not as deep, but I think that first round is going to be really nice again.
Let's pretend. All right. So next year we're talking super flex because that's pretty much what our show is. I mean, we embrace it just because that's what the Trey Addicts leagues are. There are Fields, Lawrence, Lance, Bateman, Chase,
Moore,
Etienne, Chuba,
Harris.
Yep. I mean, we're at 9 people already, and these are people that are obvious.
Yeah.
So there's going to be someone that comes, at least one person that comes out of nowhere. There's going to be Brown. Something. What?
Journey Brown.
Who?
I will smote you. You want to get smote?
I want to get smoten. Is he eligible this coming year?
He is.
Yeah, yep. I know who he is. I honestly don't know too much about him yet, but I like just egging you on with Penn State players.
Yeah, fair enough.
Any other news before we jump into either trades or listener questions? Or whatever the hell you want to talk about, Antonio?
Ben Roethlisberger apparently is not fat. Have you seen that picture?
It's a weird camera trick. I'm going to play the opposite. Yeah, usually exactly. The fat pictures are just like bad camera angles. I'm going to say this skinny picture was just a good camera angle.
That's what they said about Leonard Fournette last year.
I don't remember what they said about Leonard Fournette last year. I got to be honest. What happened with Leonard Fournette last year?
He dropped like a bunch of weight and looked very
smart. Helped him inhale the balls.
Yeah. On that note. Okay, so for some reason, you had this, Antonio, I asked you what you wanted to talk about on the show tonight, and you mentioned Dak like 3 times. So let's talk about Dak before we move into questions. What do you want to talk about Dak?
Yeah, so I did want to talk about Dak, and he has given the impression that he's going to be a top 3 dynasty asset for, you know, the quarterback or be able to give that kind of output. And I don't know if it's something that can continue with the new offense of Mike McCarthy. And I say new because apparently it's supposed to be new. The guy took a year off. He learned some analytics. Kellen Moore is a good offensive coordinator. I do like what he brings to the table. But you have to expect some regression with Dak Prescott throwing 596 balls. I posted a tweet the other day that when he throws the ball more than 37 times, they were 1-6 last year. In his career, he's 5-10. When it's under 37, they're 35-14. Now, not necessarily saying that, oh, they weren't chasing in that game or they didn't run the ball a lot, but I don't see a world where if they're winning the game, he's going to be throwing the ball that many times. And if they're behind, he still isn't throwing the ball that many times. So you need to expect him to have elite efficiency. Like I think it was 8.4 was his touchdown percentage last year. That's, you know, Mahomes level. He needs to do that every year. And does he have 3 great receivers who can be hyper efficient? He does. But I just don't know if he can throw for 5,000 yards and 600 attempts again when you have Zeke who gets his money too.
Man, if only they still had Jason Witten, they would totally be able to do it.
Yeah.
That was the key right there.
He's a centerpiece. So I don't hate Dak Prescott. I like Dak Prescott. It's just I don't. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they're going to throw the ball that much. Or maybe he's just that efficient.
Yeah, I haven't I don't study anything, but it seemed like the offense that Kellen Moore was running was more up-tempo than they're used to, because they had the great defense. They had Zeke, so they slowed the game down. Their defense isn't that great anymore, and especially going into next year, it's a little worse than it was last year. So I agree with what you're saying. Like a 9% tonight touchdown rate, that's not sustainable. Like that will drop, I'm sure. I hope that they realize what they have in a receiving core and will open up a little bit more. And especially because they gave Zeke all that money, they don't want him dying right away. So I'm not that they're going to take the ball away from Zeke, because that would just be silly at this point to take the ball away from him. I think it'll be more balanced than it has been in the favor of the rush at a normal year. So I get what you're saying. I don't think I 100% agree.
And I don't blame you. Yeah.
No, man.
2 yards per attempt. Sorry, not touchdown percentage. I meant yards per attempt. I apologize. But still, elite level, third in the league. I don't know if he's going to do that again. But I agree with everything. I know it's not a popular one going against the grain there.
Yeah. Well, it's scary to have, like, he's like quarterback 4 at this point, which is terrifying. Like, he's always been very solid, but you're shaking your head, Brian. Hold on, let me actually.
No, hold on. Finish your thought.
Like, I think we run into this awful place. He's 5 on DLF ADP for June. We've run into this weird place with quarterbacks where, like, losing this, the security blanket of quarterback value is gone. Like, we have these players that we have at the top 3, and then it's just like all we have is youth and upside after that. Like, if someone is young and has a stable job, they're a top 10 quarterback. Like, we've run, that's the landscape we live in right now. And it doesn't make me feel like, okay, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, like, none of those names besides Patrick Mahomes gives me the warm and fuzzies anymore. Like, they're, to me, like, the top 5. I remember, what were our top 5 quarterbacks, like, 2 years ago?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. I mean, Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago felt a lot safer than he does right now.
Aaron Rodgers might have been there.
Yeah, Rodgers was there. Yeah.
Like it used to feel like so much more of, like, the top 5 quarterbacks always felt so safe. And yeah, all of the old quarterbacks are really old now, so they're in the 20s. And, like, seriously, like, Daniel Jones is 11 right here, but, like, he's just going to keep climbing as long as he's not awful, because the Giants just won't get rid of him. And being young and being stable in a league where, I mean, like, Cam doesn't get re-signed, Andy Dalton's finally, a backup where he kind of should have been, but that was held around for years just because he was a startable quarterback and that's all they needed. So we don't live in that time anymore. So I think anybody that has a safe job, I think, gets boosted a little bit. And that's why I think Dak Prescott is as high as he is. Not to put disrespect on the man's name, because he's QB3, like a top 5 QB, top 10 QB of the past couple of years, but a dynasty ranking that still just feels high for me.
Well, and I think the one thing you left out, so I think you're right. I think it's upside, and it's secure job security.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's floor. I mean Dak's floor is really nice. I mean, he's going to be a quarterback 1 every year. I mean, he's finished quarterback 13 in 2017.
I played in the 13 team league that year, so it still counts.
Well, and here's the thing about that. I mean, when you think back about that season, right? So when you think back to that season and think about how awful it was for Dak, that was the year that Zeke was out with the 6-game suspension. And when you think about that season, it's like, oh my God, Dak Prescott was gross that year. Quarterback 13. Yeah. So for me, I mean, it's the floor. We've seen him. First of all, he's a young guy, like you said, with upside. He finishes a quarterback 2 or 3, depending on scoring last year. And so he's put up a top three quarterback season already. He finished seventh and eighth in his other two seasons outside of 17, where he was the quarterback 13. So for me, you know, the reason that he holds so much value and the reason that I'm taking him as a top five dynasty quarterback is he has a high floor. He's always going to be in that mid QB one range every single season. And, you know, I mean, when you think about the quarterbacks and how, you know, I mean, you think about guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And I mean, those guys weren't necessarily guys that were finishing as top two and three quarterbacks every year. But guess what? They were top six, seven most years. And that's valuable. So, you know, I think what Antonio is saying about there should probably be an expectation of regression from the quarterback two or three is accurate. I mean, it's hard to put together multiple seasons in a row of that elite production. So, I mean, I think it's reasonable to expect that. But I don't think he's going to just fall off the wagon and put up an Eli Manning type of season, fantasy-wise. Eli, respect my brother. He's two-time Super Bowl MVP, whatever. But, you know, fantasy-wise, not so much. So, you know, but I don't believe that Dak is in line to drop off like that. I think Dak is going to be a top, a mid quarterback one at worst and a top three quarterback at best. So that's why I think he holds so much value in dynasty leagues.
Did Brian just change your mind right there? And now you love Dak Prescott?
No. Well, I guess my question for you is how are they going to finish this year? What do you think their record would be? Because that, in my opinion, is what would make Dak
10-6.
Damn, no.
Like they're
See, I'm on Brian's side though. Like, I think there's a chance that they are going to be a better team that is going to be winning more games. Well, Dak threw the ball 331 times last year. That's almost 60%. If they're winning the game, they're probably going to want. I mean, it all lies
7-9
at best. It really does.
Yeah, I'll anger some Cowboy fans. Anger, that's the right word. Yeah. I'll anger some Cowboy
fans.
They're
definitely behind. He's going to kill it. If they're behind, he's probably going to deliver top five for sure. But I guess we're trusting that Dak is the quarterback he says he is, which should lead to wins, should lead to the playoffs.
He's putting his money where his mouth is on that one for sure.
Well, I mean, when you think about the weapons, right? I mean, he has Zeke, obviously. They have Tony Pollard back there to catch balls out of the backfield. They have, you know, the three-headed monster at wide receiver now, you know.
Jarwin.
Yeah, I mean, that offense is ready to roll. It's just a matter of, you know, are they going to be in shootouts? The other reason I think they're going to have a bunch of wins is they play in a weak-ass division. They just do. The Giants aren't good. The Redskins aren't good. The Eagles are decent, and have an opportunity to be better this year as well. I mean, it's going to come down to Dallas and Philly, in my opinion, in that division. You know, but if Dallas can play to their talent level, I think it's realistic that they're going to win the division and probably win 10 games. Now, we've seen for the last 20 years or so that they typically don't play to their talent level. So, you know, that's a thing in and of itself, but yeah, I mean, I think Dak is more than capable. As a Cowboys fan, which I never will become, but if I were, this is hypothetical, I would feel very confident about Dak Prescott as my starting quarterback. I would want Jerry to pay him the money. So, you know, I mean, I think Prescott's a good quarterback. And I think he's a good fantasy quarterback. So, you know, but again, I think Antonio brings up a good point. He was quarterback two or three, depending on scoring last year. It's probably pretty reasonable to expect him to drop to 5, 6, 7, 8 in that range, depending on the type of year he has. So, you know, if you're not okay with that, wait a year and try to acquire him for your roster next non-point scoring season when he also has a contract.
Yeah, I agree. And there's another thing. He could get franchised again. I mean, they could – hopefully they don't play this game. And I do think Jerry wants to pay Dak. It just has to make sense, which it should have already. But, yeah, the one thing I want to end on that there is Rodgers only threw the ball over 600 times once under McCarthy, and he had an under 500 record when he did throw it as much as he did. So I'm really excited for McCarthy and Kellen Moore to get this together. And I'm going to stop hating on Dak because it really sounds bad, but I do like the guy. I do.
All right, so we're going to move on. Antonio, do you want to do some Trade Addicts trades or some listener questions first?
Ooh, let's hear some questions.
All right.
Listener questions!
We are going to start off with fellow DAP co-worker, co-podcaster, our friend Rocky. Exactly. At Dynasty FF Addict, Rocky, you guys always talk about the Disney/Pixar movies you love. What's one that just sucks?
Princess Bride?
First of all, not a Disney movie. Second of all, oh. Middle finger, real big. It's on Disney Plus because they bought they have the rights to it. God, I hate
this.
You
is really
so
hard
right now.
Disney, yeah.
No, listen, this is really hard though because there's so many good ones.
Cars 2.
And do you stick with animation?
Answer.
You know,
yeah, I'm sticking with animation. I'm sticking with cartoons. Cars 2 to me was atrocious.
Yeah.
Also had a really bad day after watching Cars 2, so it is forbidden in this household.
You know, Cars 2, actually, yeah, Cars 2 is up there. That is a good one. I don't know. I can't think of a really bad one either.
You want?
I did see
Toy Story
4. That was a good one. Oh, no.
I gotta be honest,
dude. I love
Toy Story 4. Like, I gotta be honest, it wasn't that great. I would never say it sucked by any means, but it was not necessary at all, and it was very forced.
Okay, now we also have to pump the brakes here because I just heard what Antonio just said.
Did you hear what he said,
Ross?
No, it's too
big. No. You heard it wrong. No. I was just mentioning that I recently saw it and it was a great movie. That's why I'm trying to think of a bad movie.
Good.
And I can't.
What
I
is?
Can't. Like you guys, I watched it because you guys were talking about it.
What did you watch?
Hero 6.
We're going to talk about that in a second also.
No,
I'm glad
sorry.
You saw it because
yeah,
I was totally going
to
spoil it.
I didn't want to jump. So yeah, bad movie. Let's The Fox and the Hound. That killed me as a kid.
You know, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Oh.
I just saw Aristocats for the
as
first
a kid,
time
man.
A week or two ago.
Ooh.
Which is pretty good. I liked it a lot.
That was a good movie.
And then my daughter, to this day, is still dancing around singing Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. A very, very loud volume. But okay, we need to talk about Big Hero 6 for a second. And if you haven't seen Big Hero 6 yet, A, go watch it. But B, skip a few seconds because I'm going to spoil the end. I can't bring myself to make a spoiler alert out loud. The bad guy got what he wanted. He won. He wanted his daughter back, and he got his daughter back. Like, good did not really triumph over evil. This guy went to jail for doing what he did. Wouldn't you, though? If your daughter was stuck in some other dimension, wouldn't you go to jail to get her out? 100%!
Yes. Absolutely.
He won. Like... It just like smacked me in the face like two or three times ago that I was watching it. Like you see his face.
Okay,
like,
but okay. Now let me ask you this.
And he has this sad look on his face. I'm like, wait, he got his daughter's back. He should be grinning ear to ear that she's alive.
Yes, but what if it cost him his relationship with her because of what he did?
His daughter's alive.
Well, I understand that, but like, but is he dead to her? Because
who
if
cares?
He is, then
his daughter's alive.
She won't know what he did.
I don't know. I don't know what's a worse hell. We're not even going to go there. That's. I'm gonna. That's going to shake me up. And
no,
I'm
because
be
the right
shook,
answer is so. Your child hating you, being alive to still hate you. Ooh. That is the right answer.
This is so bad. So Saquon Barkley is the 101. We're just going to change directions here because I can't even.
Let's talk about the real running back one for a second. Matthew Chambers at noob engineer _. That's what you get. I need another running back behind his Christian McCaffrey that isn't David Montgomery or Tevin Coleman. Should I target Fournette in a trade involving my Juju, or should I go for Miles Sanders for Juju Plus? Do you think I'm overthinking and hold on Juju?
I think you're overpaying regardless of which running back you're going after.
Exactly.
Are you? Well, I'm assuming he's not going to do Fournette for Juju straight up. I think like Fournette, you would have to add to, but hold on. Let me pull up.
If I'm using Juju Smith-Schuster to acquire one of those running backs for one of my dynasty rosters, I'm going after Sanders because, I mean, for me, Juju is Fournette plus, 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 plus. So
yeah, I would want at least a solid first on top of Fournette to get to Juju.
Yeah,
but June ADP, I know ADP doesn't necessarily equal trade and I'm far too lazy to pull up the trade analyzer, but Juju is an ADP of 30 and Miles Sanders is 19. Thankfully he fell from 12. That was weird. I did not like that.
Look, I love Miles Sanders. He's a Penn State kid.
Penn State and Steelers right now. I love it.
I love his talent. He's not, I think, I mean, 12 was ridiculous.
Yes.
And 19 is still pretty aggressive for where he's being drafted. I mean,
I think he's a running back.
Where's Josh Jacobs going?
22.
That shouldn't be.
I'd rather.
I'd rather have Miles Sanders. But I'm pretty high on Miles Sanders. I'm surprised.
We play PPR. Josh Jacobs doesn't catch the ball. Miles Sanders does. And he also, oh man, I don't exactly remember the stat, but Miles Sanders had the most touchdown catches of over 20 yards or something like that.
Yep. So, him and Austin Eckler.
Like the ball was air yards of 20 or more. So like he is running routes that sometimes go deep down the field. So I think he's just more used.
Mainly the wheel route.
I'll take it.
If it works,
perfected here.
Really? Yeah, like that's like State, you're Penn over State, with the yeah, argument. Watch, so you just yes, jump back to Penn
watch,
State.
Watch Saquon run the real wheel route. I mean, that is the staple of the Penn State offense. Back in this system, you have to know how to run a wheel route.
Well, see, imagine where Miles Sanders would be if he wasn't behind Saquon for the 2 years prior. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, he was a 5-star recruit coming out, number one running back in the country in his class that year, out of Woodland Hills High School, I believe, in Pittsburgh, Turtle Creek, PA, Turtle Creek. Down there,
don't
with all them people, Rick and nope. Turtle Creek. I forget nope. who's down in. Anyway, any of my Yinzers, they'll come through and tell me who's down in Turtle Creek. Yeah. Anyways, this is great. This is entertaining. I mean, it is for me. Anyways,
I'm glad you're happy.
I don't want to answer his question. I just want to keep talking about Penn State and Turtle Creek.
You'll find a way to bring it up in every single question we ask anyway.
I am curious, though.
Here's the answer to my, here's my answer to your question. Yes, I'm going to keep talking over you because I don't want to listen to what you have to say. Hold. I think you're overthinking it. It is still June. There is many, many a moon before we have to worry about starting lineups. And plus, David Montgomery is a super solid running back too for your fantasy team. And Antonio and I were talking beforehand on how we may see the resurgence of Tevin Coleman, which I am all in on because I have so many Tevin Coleman shares. No one's ever going to be a lead guy in San Francisco, but I think we'll see him more than we did at the end of last year. I wasn't saying he's going to be a running back one by any way, shape or form. That's the rest of that saying. But I still think he'll be more than what he was and would be enough to fit into your second running back if Montgomery A has a bye, B is playing like a run stopping defense. Because Montgomery's getting the volume. He is still going to get the volume. That hasn't changed. So man, selling Juju right now is bad form. It's the only thing because you're not going to get what he's really worth because he's just so good. And apparently Big Ben is maybe skinny right now, which is going to boost every Steelers value because skinny quarterback makes good wide receiver value. We're supposed to care about that, that Brian tells me.
It's going to make him run a lot faster.
Yeah. Whew. Okay, so let's. Yeah.
So can we shift the conversation for a second? So this isn't on the show sheet, but this is something that just popped into my brain as we were talking about these running backs, and specifically Tevin Coleman and the San Francisco situation. Is that okay for me to do?
I mean, you already destroyed my transition to Steelers wide receivers, so you might as well.
Perfect. Definitely my goal. So the two of the guys that I'm going to have rostered more than the majority of dynasty owners or managers this season is, I mean, it's Mostert and it's Damien Williams. And I'll draw the line in the sand because I know the hate's a coming and bring it because that's fine. I mean, the narratives around those two backfields don't follow the production of those two backfields. And but especially
Mostert's production came when everyone else was hurt.
Most of Mostert's production came in the games that mattered the most.
When the other running backs were
hurt.
When
the coach of the team had to, it doesn't matter. It matters, but it doesn't matter. Tevin Coleman wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt the whole time. I mean, McKinnon was hurt the whole time because McKinnon's been hurt ever since he left Minnesota.
And we know the second he's healthy, McKinnon he's taking over that backfield anyway. So,
yeah, he's running the show.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. Man, he's going to play quarterback too.
But same thing with same thing with Damien Williams though. I mean, they draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I do believe that he's going to have a role as a rookie, and I believe it will probably increase as the season goes on. But, I mean, I was listening to SiriusXM today, and I think it might have been Brad Evans. I'm not sure. But they were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and, you know, they had mentioned, like, he's probably not, I mean, to start the season, it's likely, again, these rookies don't have an off-season program right now. Mm-hmm. Their off-season program is like watching film books. So,
and Zoom meetings.
And working out at home. But that's not the same, yeah, that's not the, like, implementing an offense and, you know, getting the practice reps that a rookie would normally get. So they're going to come into training camp and it's going to be harder for rookies to contribute this season. And especially at certain positions, I don't know if running back is one of those. I mean, it might be, depending on what your role is. Pass protection is probably going to be a thing. You know, especially with a $50 million quarterback standing back there. So, but, you know, so to start the season just conservatively, I mean, it's probably something like a 70-30 split for Damien Williams there. So, I mean, realistically, what are we talking about? 10 touches a game for Edwards-Helaire? Now, I absolutely believe he can be fantasy relevant. I absolutely believe that he will eventually take that job. But to say that he's going to come in and Damien Williams is like has no value and just throw him to the wind, I mean, you could get Damien Williams for nothing. I mean, you could draft him like in double digit rounds. And he's a guy that could absolutely end up as a high end running back two or even a low end running back one if everything falls right. And Mostert's the same way for me. I mean, again, I actually have so I went on the Super Flexible Pod and Shane and I have a little thing about Mostert, and I forget what it is already, but I was pro Mostert, he was not so much. And we have a little side thing for that. Which I should probably get clarified. I think it was just
remember what your charity, betting, yeah.
Which is, yeah. But yeah, I think those. I mean, those two guys to me, and especially, I mean, both of them really.
I completely agree with everything. Right, I completely agree with everything you just said. By the way, and I wanted to bring up before the draft. So before Clyde Edwards-Helaire was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, I got Damien Williams in definitely not a startup. In the 10th round, the end of the 10th round. And I think I could have probably gotten him later if I just felt like waiting, but he was the first running back I drafted.
Yeah, I traded a fourth for him. Someone was going to drop him. Yeah, someone was going to drop him. They're like, just give me a fourth.
Yeah, okay. if you got a competing team, he'll give you points at the beginning of the year at least. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, that dude should have been the Super Bowl MVP. I'll throw that out there.
he should have been, and obviously Andy Reid liked him. You know, you hope he stays healthy, but do you guys disagree that, you know, Hilaire's already a better pass-catching back than Damian Williams? Because, I mean, I think he's the best pass-catching back coming in, and I think he's already better than Damian Williams. And that's where I think...
I mean, to be fair, like, I sigh, and I think, like, I actually used to have high beliefs in Damian Williams, which I never really did. Because, I mean, let's face it, that dude couldn't get out behind anybody in Miami for 6 years before he went to, I'm exaggerating the number, before he went to Kansas City and lucked his way into a role, which he did decent on a team where anybody will do decently. So, yeah, I mean, probably. He's definitely more electric than Damian Williams. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is definitely more electric of a player than Damian Williams is, and it probably won't take much for him to start out snapping him. But for the beginning of the season, especially with the extenuating circumstances we're going through, Damian Williams will get the first couple of games as the majority touch holder. That's probably not a right word, but I don't care. I'm using it.
Yeah, if he could pass block, he'll definitely be out there if he could do
it. And supposedly he's good at it. Yeah. All right, well, Brian crushed my transition to Steelers wide receivers because we were talking about Juju, but we're going to take this one quickly. Just Brian, real quick, at @mreader123, Deontay versus Washington in terms of better value.
Yeah, so this was a big Twitter thread today too. I didn't contribute, but I read through. I mean, I honestly think they're both values where they're going. I mean, Deontay Johnson obviously is picking up steam. But I mean, James Washington, you're getting for basically nothing. I mean, yeah. At this point,
so, in terms of value, you know, they bring in clearly Washington. Yeah.
Here's the other reason. So here's the reason I would say Deontay Johnson, because I know he's going to have a job. I don't know that James Washington is going to have a job. He's likely to have a job, especially early in the season. Again, for the same reason we talked about with the rookies, right? But they spent a second round pick, their first pick in the draft this year on Chase Claypool. And, you know, some people have talked about him eventually being a tight end in the, there's like a, you know, the line up in a slot and different things like that. So, you know, I think there's a possibility that happens too, but realistically, you know, I mean, they bring in Eric Ebron. They have Juju Smith-Schuster, and they're going to want to – I mean, this is a contract year for Juju too, so they're going to want to make sure that they know how they feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get targeted this year. And then Deontay Johnson, I mean, he did enough last year, I think, to excite the organization, you know, and he was – I mean, Ben only – see, the hard thing is Ben only played like two games, so
– yeah,
but – he had a little bit of a, you know, he had all training camp with him. He had a little bit of a rapport with him the first couple of games. And then, of course, he goes down. I don't know. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. I know Johnson's going to have a job. So that's why I think, I mean, I don't think you're paying ridiculous prices for him. I think you're paying fair prices for him. As you know, I think where he is slotted in ADP and trade value right now is probably appropriate for the production he had, the age he is, and the expected production moving forward. So, you know, James Washington could end up being a tremendous value if he locks down, you know, the role, opposite of Deontay Johnson, because I think they're going to have Juju in the slot again. I mean, that's where he thrives and he, you know, really is a stud. So I think they'll probably have him on the inside and then Johnson and Washington on the outside to start the year. And then eventually Claypool will you know, get worked in there. The question is, can Washington hang on to the job? So, and I don't know. I really don't. I mean, he's shown flashes, but he's also been wildly inconsistent. Now, in all fairness to him, Mason Rudolph Hodges, which, you know, I mean, it's not the ideal situation. So, you know, but yeah, Johnson is being valued appropriately. He's going to be a starter in that offense. It's probably going to be a pretty decent offense with Ben healthy. So I would lean Johnson.
What do you have to pay to get DeAndre Johnson?
As far as value. Early second if you have rookie drafts yet, which most rookie drafts are done by now. So
but still, it's the easiest way to give value right now.
Probably early second. Yeah, probably early second.
Because you're not going to get him for a 21 second. Let's put it that way.
No,
DeAndre Johnson or 21 first?
It's got to be first.
Okay, just checking.
And I like him. I mean, I think he's good.
Giving up a future first is a big deal. I get that. Which is kind of why it's like a benchmark almost. Like, would you give up this first for what you think DeAndre Johnson can or will be?
Yeah, well, like you said, though, it was really impressive with Hodges and Rudolph, what he did do. So that is fun to see for the next season. But I did like Washington a couple of years ago coming out.
Yeah, everybody loved him coming out. And then he just, man, did not translate.
No. So that's why I think that wide receiver factory that they keep pumping out, Deontay's the next one.
There you go. All right, so we are going to do a Trade Addicts trade or two just to break things up a little bit.
Trade Addicts trades!
Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end, premium, 1.75 points per reception for tight ends, and 0.05 points for return yardage. Whew. Okay, first I want to do the Trade Addicts 2 trade I did with Rob. And that trade was Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, and a 21 second for Gardner Minshew, Hollywood Brown, and DJ Chark. One more time, because I think I said that too fast. Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, 21 seconds, Gardner Minshew, Hollywood Brown, DJ Chark. Antonio, what do you think about that trade? You shut up, Brian. Guess this.
Yeah, you know me. I'm the Baker Ridley 21 second side. I've got Baker over Minshew, and I would rather have Ridley than Hollywood and DJ Chark together. So,
oh wow,
yeah. So I that definitely lean that side.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, me too. My thoughts on Baker Mayfield are chronicled, but you know, I don't. Gardner Minshew's ceiling to me is like, you know, Baker's, I don't want to say Baker's floor because last year was pretty bad, but I don't think that Gardner Minshew's never going to be, in my opinion, a consistent quarterback one in the National Football League. So, you know, to me, Baker, as long as he isn't awful, will be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback for at least throughout his first contract and probably longer.
Can I ask a question?
So, and that to me, and Ridley, for as much as I don't like, but for as much as I rip on Calvin Ridley, specifically because he's your man's.
He's my man's.
You know, I do also prefer him to Chark and Hollywood Brown.
So. All right. I'll get to my going ons of this trade in a second. This is something I don't think I've said out loud yet. Could we see the Jaguars having a top two pick in the NFL draft and getting Fields or Lawrence?
Absolutely.
Like, that's one of the reasons I'm terrified of Gardner Minshew right now in Dynasty. I can easily, their defense has got, they've sold off every good piece of their defense. Their offense is okay. But like, they could easily just be very bad in a division that isn't. So, like, yeah, man,
if they win a division game,
ooh. Right? So, like, they could eat, like, already that's, let's just pretend they're not going to lose every division game. Let's say they luckily win one. That's what, 5 losses already? So, man, like, I don't know if that played into what I was thinking when I made this trade, because clearly I got the brain froze. Clearly I got the Baker and Ridley side because those are just two of my guys. But yeah, like the Jags scare me because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, clearly none of us know what's going to happen with anything, but like them being terrible and getting one of these quarterbacks is really within the realm of possibility. And while I do like Gardner Minshew coming into this year, long term, I want to see it because he's a fun guy, but I don't know how much that's a reality. So to me, this trade, Baker clearly over Minshew. Ridley and Chark are probably even enough value wise. Like, that's what I played back and forth with. But to me, I came out with that. That's even enough. And honestly, Hollywood for a second is even enough for me. So to me, that just comes out on my side for getting Baker. Though I know a lot of people sided with Rob, even though they were wrong, but it made Rob feel better. And that's what's important. I care that Rob's happy.
Yeah, we'll let wrong people be happy sometimes.
Yeah, it's great. all right, so let's do. I guess we can call it a baby trade from TA3. Zach Moss for Marvin Jones. If I'm a competing team, I would easily sell Zach Moss for Marvin Jones because Marvin Jones will never get the respect he deserves on his name.
If you're competing, you want the Marvin Jones side.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Marvin Jones is like 30 and he's going to score points. Zach Moss, yeah. Man, I don't care about Zach Moss. Like, he'll get 30, 40% of the touches in Buffalo, which should be a lot because they're a running team. He'll probably get some of the goal line work he'll get Frank Gore's goal line work because Singletary didn't really get all that much of it in the first place. But, I've never was all in on Zach Moss anyway. Marvin Jones, assuming you are, like, we are starting 10 people in a 12-team league, he'll be one of those flex plays for you every single week because, weirdly enough, Daryl Bevel felt like passing the ball once he got to Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's just tough just trusting him coming back from the injury into the offense, just Detroit in general. I know he's efficient. I know he's great deep ball. But I don't know. I feel like Zach Moss has a chance to – I think Singletary might maintain that same exact role. And like you said, he'll take the Gore role Moss. But that might be over 200 carries. And – with that's that,
I mean, I have no idea how many Gore did have, but that feels
like he had about 175. I think he was around that. And I do like Singletary, and Singletary had about 225 touches total, but I think they like that for him.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason Moss is in there, and I think they're going to run the ball even more than they did last year, even though Allen will progress and maybe do less in the red zone.
Yeah, Allen, my Diggs love hopes they throw the ball a little more.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're talking to the Buffalo fan.
I'm excited.
Sorry, didn't mean to blow up your spot right there.
Oh, no, you're good. I didn't like Zach Moss originally when we drafted him, but the more I've looked, I understand the pick and the role. Yeah, but
he fits. Yeah. It's fine.
I mean, but I understand Marvin Jones.
Yeah, okay. Any strong feelings, Brian, or should we just pick up another one?
Nope, you guys hit it. For a contender, it's Jones. If you're not contending, then you take the chance on our young running back.
Okay, cool. We're talking trade addicts 3. Might as well stick in trade addicts 3. Jerry Jeudy for Leonard Fournette and a 21 third. It's Jeudy, right? Like, value wise, I feel like, let's pretend we are in the draft. Jerry Judy's probably going like 107, 108 ish. What do you think Leonard Fournette's worth?
Because
let's face it, at that point, the third doesn't really matter.
111.
Yeah.
So, I mean, value-wise, it's probably Jeudy. But again, is Jeudy going to – I mean, we can't – it's funny. Like, I keep saying it's only June, but I'm starting to, like, feel like it's the season starting for some reason because we keep talking about who's going to score points early on and stuff like that. Is Jeudy going to score points the first half of the year? Probably not. Fournette will. Fournette's going to be running to the ground this year because he's a free agent next year, and who knows who's going to want him. So, man, I think he's going to score a lot of points this year. I think Jerry Jeudy just has more value than Leonard Fournette does in a vacuum.
Yeah, in a vacuum, yeah. I would agree with that.
And this also pisses me off because Rocky offered me Jerry Jeudy in a trade, and I just took too long, and this went through. So I lost out on a countering.
You know, if I didn't have a pick in the first round this year and I had Fournette in the third and I can give that for Jeudy, I would probably do that all day.
Yeah, I think so, right? I mean, I don't feel bad about the other side either because, like I said, Fournette will score points. He's one of those players like, you know, like him, Derrick Henry, like these running backs that are in rough contract contract. Why can't I say that word? Tough spots for the rest of their playing on their teams, respectively. Man, it's not even 11 o'clock. So, like, their fantasy value is going to heavily outweigh their dynasty value, so their trade value is going to take a real big hit. So it's going to be tough to get Fournette's real value, which I have found when I was trying to buy him, because I have a limit of what I'm willing to pay for him. But other people are smart and know that he's going to score a lot of points. So this is probably what you have to do to, man, like, I don't know. I think we've talked enough about this. Like, we keep saying this. At least I keep saying the same thing over and over again. So unless you guys have something new to add to what I've been rambling about. Nope.
Nah, Judy's side. I like it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's go back to listener questions, because we only have two trades left. We have a bunch of listener questions. And since I was just talking about that weird difference between fantasy value and dynasty value, we had a question from at Chris Moxley 19. I always phrased my tweet as, what should we talk about? So he said, evaluating, in quotes, aging wide receivers, for example, Hopkins or Adams, 28 seems to be the age when there's a decline in market value, but the wide receivers in this group are consistently still top 3 to 5 wide receivers, which makes no sense from a value perspective. Is there a market inefficiency since you can't buy at a value? Brian's raising his hand, so I'll let him go first. But he's not moving closer to the microphone. There you go.
Give me them all.
Yes, that's the right answer. The market inefficiency is in trades, not in drafting. In drafting, I think they're holding their value. But like Julio is like, who cares, man? That dude's awesome and he's going to score a ton of points. 28 isn't old. 28, like, that's the middle of a wide receiver prime. It's so, like, we've gotten so ahead of ourselves. Maybe it's because of the amount of talent there is at wide receiver and the fact that I almost said, like, the death of the ball hog wide receiver, like of the elite wide receiver a little bit. Like, there was a JJ Zacharyson late round podcast about, you know, those real elite wide receivers. Like, do they still exist? There's fewer of them. That's the absolute truth. But they are DeAndre Hopkins. They are Adams. They are,
yep,
Michael Thomas isn't aging, but like,
he's 27.
He's
only a year away.
Yeah.
So like, those are these guys. If you do see them being sold or offered around for less than a first round startup value, absolutely pounce on that, because you will get more fantasy value out of them than the dynasty value they're being sold for. It's insane. I don't even know if it's a market inefficiency. I think we're just outsmarting ourselves in a way. Like, we're trying so hard to get ahead. We're like, we need to be Bill Belichick and get out a year earlier than a year late. But the thing is, we're like 3 years too early. Like, I swear, this is the year Larry Fitzgerald retires. I've been saying that for 6 years. to call the decline of DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams is insane right now.
Yes.
And it feels like that's what we're talking about. So, man, again, I don't know if market inefficiency is the right phrase. I don't know what the right phrase is, but the answer to me is go buy them if you can.
Yeah, I think this is the community. It's more just maybe a community stigma that they're just, like you said, 28 is like 24.
Yeah.
Really?
It's probably the Twitter thing. It's probably absolutely a Twitter thing. Like, I feel like if we talked about this to people that aren't as just degenerate as we are, like, if they would, they would scoff at us at the idea of calling Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins descending assets. Like, it's just gotta be, like, it has to be us who just overthink everything and just sit and think about it over and over and over again because we have nothing better to do. Like, that's all I can think of.
Yeah, I think for me too, I mean, the age is the issue. Not 28, it's 32. We get out on receipt. If we're getting out at 28 years old, we're getting out 3 to 4 years too early. I mean, when you look at some of the statistics of wide receivers who were stud wide receivers, borderline or possibly Hall of Fame caliber players, and these are the types of guys we're talking about. Julio Jones, AJ Green, yes. And AJ Green's dealt with some injuries, so that's a little bit different, but Davante Adams, Michael Thomas, you know, and we're talking about the elite of the elite in the league. you know, you look at a guy like Andre Johnson. This is what Andre Johnson did from his age 28 season through his age 32 season. 101 catches, 15, 69, and 9. 86, 12, 16, and 8. He got hurt his 30-year-old season. He only played 7 games. 112, 15, 98, and 4. 109, 14, 07, and 5. Marvin Harrison, another guy, same thing. 28 years old, 102, 14, 13, and 14 touchdowns. 109, 15, 24, and 15 touchdowns. 143, which is insane. I mean, which tells you how good Michael Thomas is, too. Mm-hmm. But 143, 17, 22, 11 at age 30. Age 31, 94 catches, 12, 72, and 10. Age 32, 86, 113, and 15.
All right, 30, you made your point. I'm getting bored.
I mean, it's just, but the point is we're 3 to 4 years early when it comes to these elite talents.
Yes, not, that's the important word. Not necessarily. That's very right.
Correct. And yes, I mean, obviously, the older you get, the more injury risk is a real concern. I mean, your body doesn't do things at 32 years old that it does at 27 years old. Okay. It also doesn't do things at 37 that it did at 32. Trust me.
I was about to say, man.
Verify and confirm.
For me, it was in my much earlier 20s that my body stopped being helpful to me.
So, you know, but yeah, we are getting out too early on these wide receivers. There's so much production to be had, you know, by these elite guys. The reality is that any player can get injured any year. So, yes, is it a little bit more risky as they age? It is, but there's a good chance they won't get hurt too, as a lot of these guys have shown, and you're losing out on literally elite production.
Yep. So,
yeah, I agree with everything.
So bring them all.
Okay.
Buy them all.
Yes. Let's go back to a Trade Addicts trade, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do after that. Trade Addicts 8. Kenny, wow.
The Ocho.
Kenny Golladay 4, Derrick Henry, and Devontae Parker.
That's tough to...
Brian made one hell of a face.
I'm going to take the Golladay side for that, and I think both of these can be a contending side, but I would only be taking Henry and Parker if I was contending, but I'm surprised to give up Golladay too, so I would stick with Golladay, though. He had double-digit touchdowns. Stafford's coming back. We were just talking about Marvin Jones helping to stretch the field, and you know Golladay, he's one of those guys that people are scared about his age, but he's someone that's going to produce for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to keep him because you don't know in 2021 where Henry or Parker is.
Yeah, I think this is a really nice trade. Like, good job, guys, whoever did this. I'm in this league and I don't know who did it, but
it was me.
That was you. That's a hell of a deal. I mean, that's so, yeah, this is a very good trade. I well done. I think I lean the Henry side, but it's darn close. I mean, so head says Golladay because of the conversation that we just had. I mean, you look at the season that he had last year with Matthew Stafford only being there for half the season. I don't even remember the quarterback's name. That's how bad it is. Somebody tell me what his name was. Did he play with Sarah after the season?
David Blow.
David Blow.
At the end. There was someone Thank before you. That.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, to produce with that situation is very impressive. I mean, he had a hell of a season. Having said that, I mean, for the next two seasons, he is going to be historic. I really do. I think he's, first of all, this year, I think he's going to do exactly what he did last year. And I think if you play in redraft, and I know we talk about dynasty on this show, I know, but if you play in redraft, you need to draft Derrick Henry right now. Like, he's not the 101 because Saquon is the 101, and he's not the 102 because Christian McCaffrey deserves to be the one. But I mean, when you start getting 103, 104, I think Derrick Henry can can be, I mean, I think he should be considered there at least. I don't know that I'd have the balls to take him, but he should be considered. You know, and then Devontae Parker, I mean, I don't really get overly excited about a fifth year breakout wide receiver. But you know, I mean, that situation doesn't look, look, I think Miami's offense this year is going to shock people. I think they're going to be good.
People.
Yeah.
I agree heavily.
I think they're going to be a lot better than a lot of people expect. I mean, Miami's been bad for a long time. But I like the pieces that they've put together. They have the future at the quarterback position set now with Tua. You know, I don't know how much he's going to play this year. I think he's got the perfect mentor there, though, in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, you want a guy who's seen it all. I mean, that guy's been in the league forever, and he's won a lot.
He went to Harvard.
He did. He's smart. He's won a ton of football games. I mean, he's been on a lot of horrible teams, and they've won a lot of games because he's been the quarterback. So, you know, I think it's a perfect situation for Tua. You know, to learn. And then to step into, they have weapons. I mean, they have Parker, they have Preston Williams, they have Mike Gesicki. You know, they bring in Jordan Howard. That, you know, so I mean, they have some pretty nice pieces in that offense. I mean, yeah, I think Parker. I don't know that he'll do what he did last year, but I do think that he's going to be a fantasy producer. I think he's going to be. You know, maybe he's not a wide receiver two, but I think he's definitely a wide receiver three.
Yeah.
You know, so you're getting back at least for the next season or two. Is that over aggressive with top five running back with Derrick Henry? Maybe in PPR, right?
I'll take it because I got Derrick Henry in this trade.
Yeah. Someone will do it.
Yeah. I love Derrick Henry. I really do.
Yeah, so I did this right after acquiring Saquon Barkley. And because I say this before, like when you're in so many leagues and you do, even accidentally, you do things the same in every single league. And it's sort of you want to have a little fun. You want to do things a little differently, which is why I bought Saquon Barkley in the first place. Now, clearly, I don't have to let you know that I do, in fact, love Saquon Barkley because I traded up in the Trade Addicts Eliminator to draft Saquon Barkley at 101. So we know I love him, but just paying up for running backs is something I've never really done before. And then after doing that, and I'm like, you know what? Let me take this team and go all in. Let me say I'm going to try and win this year, and I'm going to try and win this year by getting the strong running backs for this year because especially, like I said before, after, man, that late round QBE episode just like broke my brain about my love for wide receivers. I'll never give that up because there's just so many good ones and they do score a lot of points. But man, running backs have a very big part of winning championships, especially if you get that one guy who goes nuts, like Christian McCaffrey can, like Saquon Barkley can, like Derrick Henry probably will because he's going to get run into the freaking ground. Whew. So
yeah, when I saw you,
go ahead. No, I was rambling anyway.
I was gonna say when I saw you move Galladay, when that got posted in the chat, I was like, "No way, you made the trade to get Henry," and then you kind of explained it a little more, and I'm like, "You know, that makes some sense." So you know, when you go it like that way, I think I might take the Henry side like you did.
And I also do just have a ton of Galladay shares, so trading one away didn't really hurt me in any way, shape, or form. I do agree with everything you guys said about him. I do love him as a player. I like the situation. I like the pairing with Stafford. And assuming that offense does run like it was going in the beginning of the season, and I'll never trust Daryl Bevel. So like I'm a little burned by it. But assuming like they still do throw the ball like they were, I think Galladay is still going to be great. So I sent this offer and it was accepted. Like there was no back and forth. There was nothing. I sent that offer and like, I'm guessing because I sent it to Kane, I'm guessing he did something along the lines of what Brian did because a few days went by and I'm like, hey, Kane, in your inbox. He's like, look, I know I'm thinking about it. I'm like, all right, bro. I'm sorry, man. Whew.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, internet is starting to get a little crappy and I'm losing the ability to say words. So I think we are going to call it a night for now. But before we do, Antonio, A, thank you for coming on. B, I hate you a little less than I did before we started recording. And since I hate you a little less, why don't you remind the people who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Absolutely. Again, glad to be here. Appreciate you so much. Glad I can get a little higher on your list. But you can find me at Antonio Donisi, DonisiFF. You can find the podcast, the Dynasty Mafia podcast, at Dynasty Mafia _FF.
And what's going to be
part of the community?
What's going to be the greatest thing of the Dynasty Mafia show coming up this week?
Oh, the greatest thing is we have Outhouse on the show on Thursday. Really excited for that. And Brian, don't you worry, Mister. Don't you worry. There's a lot of room.
You probably could have heard the eye roll that Brian gave. After I said that, like that's how big of an eye roll that was. You may have heard it.
Yeah, my back just started getting a little tingly. Jeez. No, we're very excited to have Russ over there for episode 5. Just excited to be part of the community. Like I said, it's a great community and you guys have been great and I appreciate you for bringing me on.
Yeah, I was trying to make another I hate you less joke. I appreciate you a little more, but I think I've run that into the ground and just bringing it up sort of ruined it even more. Whew. But I mentioned at some point throughout the show, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can see that Brian learned how to use the little scrolly thing at the bottom of the StreamYard, which now just says quads because he had it saying Meatloaf Wildcat, the legend. And I changed it to Meatloaf Wildcat smells funny. And I'm a little upset that I did not get a reaction at all from Brian about it. He's Mr. Cool.
See,
he's Mr.
Hey,
cool.
And don't. Yes, I am. I am Mr. Cool. And you know what else is cool? When you buy t-shirts, fantasy football t-shirts. So go to ffpodshirts.storymb.com.
What?
We've got Trade Addicts Pod. We've got Trade Addicts Pod, DAP Network, Fantasy Timeline, Dynasty Junkies, Debbie Marketplace, Casey Kasem, Coast to Coast Scouting, Superflex reading. Super Show, the DGN Pod, Dynasty Diagnostic, and Top Shelf DFF. Go get yours.
I can't believe.
Awesome and cool.
I can't believe you cheater. You cheaty, cheaty cheater.
I didn't cheat. I'm looking at my Roku remote. See?
Yeah, why would you write that on your Roku remote? That's the weirdest place.
I didn't write it on my Roku remote. Look, nothing on it.
Hey, on YouTube, you can see it. He wrote it on
And
the
if
Roku.
You would have actually Hey, and here's the deal. If you would have actually listened to our last episode, sir.
I have not done that
the one
yet.
That
I'm
you
so
were
sorry.
Not a part of.
Oh, wow.
You would have heard me do that in all of its glory. Last week, just as I did this evening, and you would have been probably, you probably would have felt some, you know, for Father's Day, I was giving, I mean, you're not my daddy, but, you know, for Father's Day, I was trying to give gifts. What? Get out of here, little bit. get out of here. Yeah. I was trying to impress, and you didn't even listen to the show, so.
I will. Awesome. It is still in there.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a good show. It was a good show.
I'm sure it was okay. I am currently on June 11th. What is it? I am 11 days behind on podcasts.
80 days till football.
Yes.
Hopefully. Okay. So, man, we did Patreon, Store Envy, wristbands. Man, sorry, Antonio.
You dropped the ball.
$5 per wristband. We have to find a new charity because Scott, on one of his recent Commission Possible, pretty much said he's not going to be taking outside donations outside of like SFB, out of the Potathon and the Eliminators. So we have to find a new charity. But we're still going to be donating pretty much everything to charity from FF Pod Shirts and for the bracelets. $2 of every bracelet will go to we're starting a charity. I'll get that the paperwork started. Oh man, I just realized I'm like make like a charity with a name either Outhouse or Addict in it. Oh no,
that 501c3 going.
Yeah. So DM Brian if you want those because I'm feeling lazy. But you should definitely do that because they're awesome. And good night, Brian.
Night, Otto.
Night, Antonio.
Night, Russ. Night, Brian.
O'Neill.
Thank you for listening to the Creative Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Barr FF. Follow the pod at Creative Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.